Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 877. I am Brian Kilby. Radio Free Cybertron is the world's first and oldest toy and action figure podcast. It's 1999. With me this week, going back to 1999, we have XV, a.k.a. Chris.
No one is going to hold me accountable for what I say.
Yes. Nobody will get that.
No.
If you're watching
but
live.
That means they can't hold me accountable for it either.
That's true. Mm. Matt.
Hello.
Hello. Rob.
Hello.
Rob. Don.
Hello.
And Diecast.
Hey, everybody.
John DeLuna will supposedly join the show when it's already in progress.
He took a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Thank you for making that joke, Don. The Gen Z kids listening will not get that.
Looney Tunes, darn it.
I know. Hey, if you are a subscriber at tfradio.net, actually, I guess you don't subscribe to our website. If you are a subscriber to our Transformers podcast feed, or There Goes My Money, the newest episode just hit the podcast feed. And if you're a patron at patreon.com/tfradio, the next episode posted today as well. Should be a patron at patreon.com/tfradio.
Mm-hmm. Especially a touch patron, because then you could come in beyond There Goes My Money.
Yep, that would be wonderful.
It's fun.
It is fun. So last week was like a cursed episode. The episode was great. It was a great episode last week.
But yeah, I love that over the next 48 hours after we finished, enough stuff came out that we could have had a whole second RFC that week.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the one that I overlooked is the first news item, which is Masterpiece Genrai, just coming in December.
Mm-hmm.
We have, just a little picture of it.
Yeah, okay, so it's coming in two formats, though. It's coming as MP60 and also MPG09.
Can you explain, please?
Yes, I can. Thank you for asking. So MP60 is just the cab robot, just Genrai. Mm-hmm. With the Power Master.
And supposedly in animation toy colors. Yes.
Oh, is it the toy colors? I thought it was the animation colors for the individual
one.
Okay,
I think you're correct there, yeah.
And then MPG09 is going to be Super Genrai. It's going to have the trailer and, I guess, a differently decoed cab robot.
Yes, it's going to be shiny.
Power Master. Yeah.
Why is it MPG?
Because it combines.
Because he Gattai's with his trailer.
Yes. And
the trailer does not come with MP60. It's just the cab robot in Genrai.
And probably MPG10 is going to be God Bomber.
Yeah.
Wait. So the G in this actually means something.
Yes. The train robots.
It has like three different meanings, but yeah, one of them is Gattai.
You'll go Gattai. Yeah, the MPG train bots. G is for Gattai to combine.
Yeah.
Okay. That escaped me at some point because
you've forgotten. We went over this in detail when MPG, the line, was first announced like 2 years ago, whatever.
My brain is a sieve.
No, I mean, I absolutely get it. Like, but, you know, it's old knowledge that every episode is somebody's first episode. This bears repeating occasionally. It is Gattai primarily.
So if we ever get a headmaster,
they could.
It could be in this line.
They could.
Interesting.
So
I will mention that since basic Jinrai is not part of the MPG and he has a power master.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if they ever went completely insane and did a Masterpiece Fortress Maximus, which, you know, has the two-part headmaster combination, that I could see as an MPG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go crazy like that.
Blade Raider says G for giant price tag. Well, about that. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Chris.
MP60 has a list price of 22,000 yen, almost 25,000 with tax.
That's just 24,200.
That's with tax. 22,000 plus 10% is 24,200.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Math! And then MPG 09 is, 40,000 something yen. Now, granted, we have still a great exchange rate right now, and we as Americans will pay a lot less than, 400 something with our dollars than, Japan's going to pay with their yen, but it's still going to be mightily expensive.
And that could change between now and December when this is supposed to come out.
It absolutely could, and if somebody's going to pre-order this when presumably it goes up for pre-order at various places next week, I would recommend taking steps to lock in the exchange rate. There's different ways you can do that. One I've recommended in the past is if you use Amazon Japan for your pre-orders, you can buy Amazon Japan gift credit through, you have to get from Amazon Japan specifically. It's not transferable between different regions, but you can buy that and apply it to a pre-order and, pay incrementally that way with a favorable exchange rate. If you have a PayPal account, you may be able to convert dollars into yen up front and then use that through a PayPal debit card to pay. That's a little bit trickier to make that work. The Amazon Japan thing is a little bit more straightforward if you regularly use Amazon Japan for importing stuff.
Have you ran that through the current currency conversion XV to find out what it is right now?
I have not. We can give that a try.
$304.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
For the regular one in our Discord, tfradio.net/discord, Paladin says that 25,000 yen is about 165 before shipping.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it.
So if the one with the trailer is like $300 and some, that's a lot cheaper than MP44 Optimus Prime was.
The exchange rate's better than it was with MP44.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do we have photos of Super Genrai yet or no?
Not good ones.
No. What we have right now is just these little like blown up thumbnails. This was taken, as often is, from solicitation forms for retailers that aren't supposed to be public anyway. Yeah. Next week, the reveal, these are dated for April 10th. So next week we should have the reveal and the pre-orders go up in time for next week's show. Because April 10th in Japan will be late Tuesday night here.
Awesome. Okay. I mean, when I was a kid, this was my Optimus Prime.
Yeah, me too.
Because
same here.
Yeah, because Genrai was basically, I mean, he's as close to Optimus Prime in G1 as the
G1 is Optimus Prime.
They just marketed him here as Power Master Optimus Prime. We didn't have Genrai,
and in other parts of Southeast Asia, he was in the show, actually, Optimus Prime, a trucker from Japan.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm Japanese.
Yes.
Well, right. I'm just saying he was my Optimus Prime, and he was a better Optimus Prime than the G1 toy, in my opinion.
Mm. Mm, strong words.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love multiples of it.
Along basic, along certain criteria, I can agree it was closer probably to the animation model than the original toy.
Yeah.
The Power Master thing was a lot of fun with the trailer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, looking at the pictures here for MP60, I don't understand how Genrai is going to combine with his transector looking at the grill the way it looks right now.
It goes on the back.
It goes on the back like it always did.
Genrai should go on the front to transform the transector.
No, it goes on the back.
No, Genrai has always been
it goes on the front of the truck super cab, robot. Which becomes his back.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, that's what Don's
and the
saying.
Front of the super robot
is that it does just doesn't, you know, the front of the truck as we're shown doesn't.
It's a facade. Really
doesn't really show any clear, you know, evidence of how you connect it.
So tiny
pictures and also just, you know,
that's nightmare fuel though, Don. Because what's worse than transforming a masterpiece? Because you're always afraid you're going to break it. If you can't transform it unless you shove that into a slot.
I would expect
is this being a masterpiece, they're going to have as many fake parts as they need to have a pristine whichever mode you want, you know, without the Power Master attached, but that would be removable so you can plug in your Jinrai if you want to display it that way. But if all you want is to have the truck cab and Jinrai riding inside, you don't want to have the cavity up front where the Power Master, the Godmaster, is not plugged into.
Okay, so you're thinking Jinrai can actually fit in the cab, possibly, that look.
I would imagine if they're trying to really recreate the experience of a, you know, ex-Master toy, they're going to try to have accommodation for the Master figure to be inside the vehicle like the original.
I see now.
But do not need to have the unlocking feature.
I agree with that. But yeah, I think they will probably try to engineer these so there's space for the Master to ride inside the cab. And, you know, that you'd want to have a fake grill piece you could snap on the front of there to have, you know, the proper full looking, because especially if MP60 is the animation version one, you know, in the show when Jinrai is driving that around, like there's not a big hole in the front of the truck cab because he's not plugged into it. Like, you know, it looked like a whole complete truck. You're going to want to be able to recreate that particularly.
Can they recreate the phasing through the roof when he transforms? That'll be the
that would be worth.
Yeah, that's some Dinobot level magic there.
What I want is not this. I want a missing link, Jinrai.
Okay, I can see that.
That's what I want. I don't like they've ruined me with missing link.
Well, yeah, okay,
missing link would be ideal. Secondary, I'd take a commander class, but a masterpiece is not something I'm really in the market for. As I would love to have a new one of these.
Missing link, in its own way, really is like it's the masterpiece for people who are into what masterpiece originally was, kind of something that celebrates the toy as much as the media.
Yeah,
and we've gone so far away from that. Like missing link is now its own form of masterpiece, and I absolutely like support like anything they want to try to adapt into that. I want to see the effort. I don't know that I would necessarily buy it myself, but like, you know, do the right thing, have it come out a certain way, I will absolutely like sit up and take an interest in that.
Yeah
Now Power Master Optimus Prime, like Diecast, was my Optimus Prime. That's the one I had as a kid, and I desperately want a new one. I like a good one. At the same time, I hate what Masterpiece has become. Like it's pretty much horrible these days. But this new thing that Takara has going of two different versions of the same Optimus Prime toy is like my least favorite thing they've got going now. Like, who would buy Power Master Optimus Prime without the trailer?
Yeah,
a sucker.
I don't know. That's a good question. I can tell you that you all should thank me, because I'm the reason this is coming out, because I love Power Master Optimus Prime so much. I never thought we'd get a masterpiece. I bought the KFC trailer and haven't even opened it because they do not have the Jinrai out yet. So I have a trailer in a box when I could have just saved my money and bought the masterpiece.
You bought that piece of crap?
Yes, because I like Power Master Optimus Prime.
I know, but did you not watch any of the reviews?
If you're not watching us live, you have missed the most beautiful, horrified expression on Don's face right now.
I mean, I'm sorry, Diecast. I like most of KFC stuff, but I watched one review on that thing, and I said, hell no.
All right, I didn't watch a review because I'm like, it's just the trailer. How bad can it be?
All right, so Chris, I know you're pretty much out on this, but
The fire guts question, right?
Yeah, what about MPG 11 fire guts convoy?
Okay, so I assume
Jinrai.
I assume it would end up being like a plus of some sort. So, like, we'll address that problem if it becomes a problem. The thing, though, that I expect to see first, and also, you know, we'll side eye a little bit, would be like MPG09 plus Nucleon Quest. Convoy.
They do love their black repaints.
Yeah, and like the G1, the reissue, however you want to describe the one we have, the G1 toy Super Convoy, Nucleon Quest Super Convoy, is a beautiful, beautiful thing for a black redeco. Like, that is just, that toy looks so good as a black recolor. It's, you know, it's, it doesn't even do anything special. It just looks good.
So Diecast says that he loves, that he's the reason because he loves this toy so much, or the vintage one. I'm thinking, if you count Nucleon Quest Genrai, Super Genrai, as vintage,
Super Convoy,
I have 4 boxed vintage versions of this. I think that's more than Diecast has. I like this toy better, the vintage toy better than Diecast does. I'm the reason we have this, and I don't want it.
No, I was saying I'm the reason because I bought the third party KFC.
Oh, because it's the sucker tax. It's like you bought that because it's kind of like me with that Sergeant Slaughter figure. I bought the non-G.I. Joe Sergeant Slaughter, and then immediately, or if I bought like MP10, oh, it's an American release. It's the monkey's paw.
Yeah, I might actually want this, but I need to see better pictures first, because some of the proportions on those, on those small little photos we have right now, look kind of weird. Like, if you look at his hands when he's in the picture in his superhero pose, his hands look really tiny.
I hate the superhero pose. That is the boxiest toy in history. This is wrong by default.
I'm going to buy it.
Well, of course you're going to buy it.
Sorry, Rob, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
I wasn't going to say anything terribly important. I was just going to say, yeah, that the rule is when you commit to a version that is not quite what you were looking for, that is the one, when the one you were looking for will be announced. That is how it works.
Do we? Is there a name for that rule? Is that a law?
Murphy's Law?
I was going to say Brian's Law, but that sounds kind of like something. I'm not going to. Never mind.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I see what you mean about that.
Okay. What about this WonderCon stuff?
Well, all the stuff we knew that was coming.
There's 3 toys that a lot of people have had the chance to buy already, but then there's Swoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to say first thing that for those of you that are interested in Sunstreaker and Sideswipe, tfradio.net/Amazon, they are available for order right now and shipping.
That's nobody though, Don. Hey, if you're actually though, if you're interested, go to tfradio.net/cheatsheet, CHEETSHEET, and you can hook Don up. He really needs some help.
So, I was trying to do something nice for everybody so they can.
And
get
we're
their
trying to do something nice for us.
This is not. Oh, nice for you and horrible for me.
Yes.
Fine. I'm going to, as soon as tomorrow rolls around, I'm going to order every single Swoop I can, and y'all don't get none.
So
I'll get mine from CMD store. It'll be fine.
What do you think about Swoop?
Looks good.
I think looks it like looks Swoop. Great. The blue is a little
intense.
Blue? It's not wrong, but it doesn't look right to me. It's like it's just a shade off of where my head is telling me it should be.
I think it looks fantastic.
I'm still going to buy 2, so I got no problem with that.
My take on the blue is that it was probably based on the really nice like HD remasters of Transformers the movie, which tend to skew a little bit more vivid in terms of colors than my memory of the original.
Yeah, they turned the saturation up.
Yeah, which is a common thing with animation reissues, and I'm pretty sure that's kind of where we are with why and why Swoop's blue is so bright.
They should be sourcing this from the Laserdisc.
Yeah,
on a CRT.
Indeed.
Yeah,
and I mean, could it be lighting on the figure?
Also, that's possible. Yeah,
is this a photo or a render? I can't tell anymore.
So that might be renders in the first link. There is pictures of the actual thing in the one right below the Instagram post.
Let's look at the Instagram post.
I mean that I believe the blue on there is fairly saturated too, so I think that is the intent.
I mean, I was a little shocked on this just because I expect Swoop to be a little bit smaller. I thought they were going to include more things or maybe have bigger wings. The wings actually aren't that big. They actually look a little bit small in Dinobot mode.
So the tips of the wings are articulated, so you can rotate them out to add a little bit of length to the wings.
Oh, nice.
It's a really neat feature.
And then he comes with Grimlock's sword and his sword.
Mm-hmm.
Are we missing any of the swords? Like,
did Sludge and Slug.
Not if you get comic edition Grimlock when it comes out.
Okay, so we're going to have to get Swoop and comics edition Grimlock.
Yeah, yes.
And then Grimlock will have two swords because he comes with his own comic version too.
I was kind of hoping Swoop would come with a stand. Maybe like that was his. That was
he is light stand compatible, but does right. not actually yeah. come with a stand.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of hoping he would, so that way it'd
because
be
this
more...
isn't crowdfunded, so there are no stretch goals.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I'm just saying, with Swoop being, I would have to say the engineering on Swoop by default is probably not going to be as complicated.
Oh no,
because Swoop it doesn't have simple. To be. Yeah, it doesn't have to be Swoop.
Right.
And so, therefore, what they saved in the engineering costs, maybe they could have done a flight stand with it. It's no problem. It's just, I was just kind of hoping he would come with one.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting something like that just because maybe he's going to be bigger than I expect. I mean, there are
comparison shots of him with the other Dinobots, and he is quite large. In robot mode, he's a little bit smaller than the others.
Yeah, a tiny bit shorter, but like.
Not much.
No.
Well, he's always been the most lanky of the group. Really? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, even if he's only a tiny bit shorter, that still
he looks correct standing next to the others.
I don't know why anybody would expect a flight stand. I mean, maybe it's because of all of those flight stands that like our Seekers come with. Or
well, no, it's not that.
Starscream got a chair.
Yeah,
that's like a flight stand.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's just. I don't know. I was just thinking they try to add this stuff when they can, and with his engineering being a lot simpler, maybe there was some cost savings and things like that that we might just. It just seemed like the out of the box experience with the flight stand would seem to be more of a complete package for this character as it makes sense.
Okay, so like engineering and materials are not interchangeable in a budgetary sense. You know, so like if something doesn't require a lot of complicated engineering, it doesn't mean that there is, you know, leftover that they can turn into more plastic that goes into the package.
Like, I gotcha.
Swoop is still volumetrically very similar to the other Dinobots, especially with the wings. It's just, you know, laid out in a little bit different way.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
I don't think there would probably be the material surplus in this to do what you're suggesting. Like, The display stands masterpieces come with those in kind of the way you're thinking, but masterpieces are of course a much different, bigger ticket thing, and that is something where you kind of need the value add more acutely than on a lower level retail toy.
So the release date is listed fall 2024. When can I really get it?
Pre-orders tomorrow.
Yeah, the pre-orders go up tomorrow.
April 4th.
I would personally expect the fulfillment to fall around the middle of May,
like CMD store.
Yeah, like, probably. Big Bad also wouldn't be a bad way to go with that. Like that worked out for me with like Gears and Starscream to get those fulfilled real quick.
I'll hedge my bets and like, oh god, I was going to say I'm going to do both, but I really want this.
Yeah,
but that's why I had got so many duplicates of things before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now I want to reiterate what Sean says in our Discord chat. To get everyone else, Discord.
Three?
No. Do you think we'll see the return of Selects with the red-chested version?
It doesn't even necessarily have to be Selects. I mean, you know, they've they got Comics Grimlock coming out. They had the G2 one in the Walmart capsule. There's going to be another G2 one at regular retail. If they want to get a red Swoop out there and they can get literally anyone to play ball with them on that, you know,
it can just be
out.
Toy edition.
Yeah, exactly. Like it can be just anything. I really am feeling like Selects is a. I don't think it's quite dead yet, but it's definitely like a dying project. And considering like when we got the first generation Selects toys, I feel like that was definitely something more that like the Lenny Panzeca era, if not a little bit before that. Like I think that was an initiative from that point. And the current team probably is not so much about that as getting like you know, specific capsule lines produced and things like that.
Yes, Selects definitely feels like it's been replaced by retailer exclusive figures.
Yeah, I will say this. Now that we've got Swoop, do you know what this means? Do you know what this means?
No, I'm not pondering what you're pondering, Brain.
G2 Dinobots.
I already thought about it.
We could now get the whole set. I want them. I want two of each of them.
What's how many Swoop decos are there? Are there any?
Just the one concept, as far as I know, because no G2 Swoops were ever released.
Yeah, the one that's in the same vein as Banana Popsicle Grimlock, right?
This would be in the.
I think he was green.
Green and blue, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be in the, which book that Jim did?
Legacy.
Legacy.
Yeah.
That is a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is currently in storage. Okay.
As long as it's safe.
Yeah. So green and blue.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have this. Grimlock has two decos. Sludge
is in the same
concept.
Boat that Swoop is, yeah.
So just one. Then Slag and Snarl each have two.
Yeah, three. Both have a red and both have a green.
Three, because they were also releasing their G1 colors too, weren't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in that first wave.
Yeah. So but like you don't count those.
Right.
Yeah. God, that's a lot of that's a lot of money, Don. That's a lot. Well,
I mean, even if Don has only so far been keeping up with just like all the Grimlocks, he's already put a lot of money into the Dinobots.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's just I know I don't need to, but as hard as some of these Dinobots are, like Grimlock, like the first Grimlock, even though he is getting a reissue
at the end of next year,
exactly. I don't want to get a bum. Like I don't want it to be a bum's sludge, and then only have one, and he's got a bum wing or a bum knee or something.
Yeah, and I mean, realistically speaking, none of us need any. So if you're going to, you know, if you're going to buy more.
I think Sludge is an unfortunate outlier in terms of Dinobot QC. Like, there's probably not really a reason to suspect Swoop is going to have a problem like that.
No.
Snarl is the best one we got, and he's the most recent.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, you know, it's definitely better than Sludge. No, Don, with your experience with that, I don't think anybody would blame you for, you know, getting yourself a spare just in case.
Well, plus the fact Sludge being my favorite Dinobot and then getting such a bad QC one, it just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth.
Never mind me, I'm trying to buy a green G2 Slag because that's the only one I'm missing.
Mm. Ah, well, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
Hey, John, what do you think of Swoop?
Is John back? John on?
Yeah.
I think he's fine. Fine. Good enough. We're too far in, guys. So you're in. It's too late.
No. I'm really pleased for the design team and or teams that went into this Dinobot project and actually have been able to finish it off 4 years later.
Yeah,
like, it has been a good long time that we've been at this, and like barring some of the sludges not being quite so hot, like for the most part, this team has. By team, I mean the Dinobots this time. This team has actually turned out really good and fairly consistent in like all respects. Like, yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah, I got Grimlock in January of 2021.
Woof.
Hmm.
Yeah.
This is getting us ready for the 86 Devastator.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a long time to finish that.
Just over a year from the look of it.
Yeah. I just had a really weird random thought because it's me and I'm crazy. They could always take this Swoop, change the head and the wings slightly, change the colors, and re-release it as Dive Bomb if you wanted to get super obscure G1 wise, because there was a whole Dive Bomb Swoop thing over the name.
Wasn't it Marvel UK specifically?
I believe so.
Okay, all right. I was just thinking that would be like if Selects ever does return. Well, to...
if we ever get like Euro G1 stuff, sure. Throw that into the concept pile for that. Which I mean, it's never going to happen. to my eternal sadness,
I am so debating making an offer on. I've never made an offer on eBay in my life.
Do it.
I hate offers, but there's a pristine sealed green Slag.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't want to pay the asking price for.
Well, you can always try. The worst thing they can do is block you, and if you weren't going to pay the asking price anyway, you've lost nothing.
Yeah, I'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What's next news item?
He's just going to buy it now.
You're probably right.
So we got to see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles collaborative.
This is what made me say, God, we just need, like, this dropped basically around the same time as Genrai, and I'm like, we should just record another show.
Right.
We haven't even got to this yet. This is the big news to me for the week.
Seriously, though, yeah. I did think about sending an email out to the group being like, hey, anybody free to do an extra this weekend? We have another show.
Yeah.
Okay, so Wallop, that was the code name.
Party Wallop.
Party Wallop. So yeah, it is a Ninja Turtle collab with four head parts so that you get
four sets of
five, isn't it? Isn't the blank one its own head part?
So yeah, there's the blank one where you can transform it and leave the wagon front on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make it each of the four turtles.
It's like the best thing ever.
So Brian needs six of these, so he has one to leave as a van.
Mm-hmm.
One is the van robot, and one is each turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I showed this to Kim, and Kim was like, oh man, that's awesome.
I have nice. Really never been tempted by one of these collaborative things until this one came along.
I did not even hesitate in pre-ordering this. Like, before Transformers was a thing for me, I was a Ninja Turtles kid. I was that age at that time. That was my jam, you know, up until Transformers came along, and then, you know, I fell into the Star Trek hole, and those, again, another Playmates line, I got, you know, deep into that too, but, like, Ninja Turtles was the original it thing for me, and, like, yeah, there was no way I wasn't going to pre-order one of these as soon as it went up, because, okay, so we talked about this at some length on the latest episode of There Goes My Money, episode 50, which just went up on the Patreon feed today as of recording. Patreon.com/TFRadio. Sign up, go check it out early. Public feed next week. So we were talking about this at some length on the episode, and like one of the points I raised was, if you want a cartoon-accurate turtle van toy, there's pretty much this and the NECA one, if that ever actually got made. I don't even know if that actually came... Okay, but, you know, one of these things is $50. The other thing is...
$350, I think.
Okay, I was going to say $500, but yeah, like, those are basically two options here, and yeah, they hit, you know, very different demographics, but, like, it floored me to realize that no point in the original toy line did you get a toy of the turtle van that looked like it did in the cartoon. And this looks about perfect in the alt mode.
It does. I ordered two. I may get more. I started.
You have to, Diecast, because there are four turtles.
So yes, I want to say something out of character for me. So the one thing that third party. So I'm comparing this to Star Trek Picard season 3, which I love, but it's nothing but fan wank. Third party often goes the fan wank route, where mm-hmm. they like try to do total fan service, where Hasbro typically pulls back a little bit. This is so much fan service. In one toy, it is almost unheard of. It's beautiful and preposterous. I love this.
Yeah,
it is so awesome, and I pre-ordered one.
Yeah, but especially at full price, I think pre-ordering one is just fine. If the opportunity comes up later that the price gets knocked down through either like a combination of good sales, like some of us are able to do with Code Red. Or, you know, it going to clearance later on. Hopefully not that, because this is cool and everybody should just go ahead and buy one, honestly. But, like, I would, if the price got knocked down by half, I would probably get at least another one to have the robot and the van at the same time.
Yeah, this is going to go on my desk at work, I think.
Well, if you were lucky enough to score them on Target, they did qualify for that sale.
Yeah, and I did get it a little bit cheaper than the list price because I had, you know, whatever combination of offers.
Yeah, and I'm kidding.
You're not getting one to keep in package?
That's the fifth one. Yeah.
Don just put something in our internal.
Yeah, that I just wanted to point that out, Brian. Heat Boys is a third party company.
Yeah,
but they've made some very, very good Turtle Mecha. I think Rob might have mentioned it on a previous show, and Rob or XV had mentioned it, that they had seen it anyway. Very detailed, very highly articulated, great-looking figures, but they are making a transforming Leonardo, and he's the van.
It says Ninja Turtles on it. Is this licensed?
I think so in some markets. It's sort of like Vehicle Voltron. It's licensed, but it's not licensed in the U.S.
Yeah, I take
but back it's licensed said, other markets.
I take back what I said about it looking horrible. It looks horrible for what I would want. It actually looks pretty amazing. If like I could see somebody this being exactly what somebody would want, it's not what I want.
Right. And, they've made some Turtle Gundam style things that are very, very good looking. That kind of thing there. But I just wanted to point that out, is that is another thing being done that is slightly licensed. Again, it's, you know, John could probably explain how that all works, but
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this looks like they wouldn't bother putting the logo, the Nickelodeon logo, on it if it wasn't licensed. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's yeah.
Doesn't look bad at all in robot mode. The vehicle mode, you know, little bit not what I'd want, but it's not bad looking.
So yeah. With this crossover thing, I think they need to do a version 2 where it turns into Metalhead.
Yeah, yes. No, I mean, that was my only complaint with this, is like my preference would have been to have this be Metalhead and not represent any of the turtles specifically at all.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why that wasn't what they did, but like that would have been my ideal thing for me.
How did they have gotten Don to buy five
of them, yeah.
And Don, that's incorrect.
I'll be honest, it was me getting the sale price on Target, because it's like I basically bought three and got one free the way it all worked out. So it's like I might as well have the whole set of four. That way I don't have to switch back between them. And then I am getting one to keep in package, because there's no packaging shots on that link in the show notes, but the packaging looks incredible.
Yeah, it's blister card packaging, I think. So you definitely would need to have like a separate one if you want to have a packaged example. You wouldn't be able to put it back together like a box.
But Don needs one for vehicle mode. If you're going to have all four turtles, you need one in vehicle mode, because the turtle, it's displayed in robot mode and package.
Okay, yeah. Matter of fact, you know, there's the generic robot mode. There's the four turtles. There's vehicle mode. So, yeah, probably needs like six or seven.
Seven. Definitely.
I'm going to get one when I get it, because the turtles did not own four vans. So that's
That's valid. Let's see. In our point. Discord, tfradio.net/Discord, Blade Raider had a good way of looking at treating it like a cross between the Zeo Megazord and the Headmasters. The Zeo Megazord had interchangeable helmets to switch its battle powers, and basically, like, I think Blade Raider is just going to take this, like, it switches heads every time a particular turtle is in control of their turtle van robot, which, I mean, that kind of works.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
No, I really like how this turned out. I'm really pleased by this. I'm very much looking forward to this getting released and playing with it.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And I heard a rumor, to piggyback on the crossovers thing, that they were teasing Star Wars crossovers with Transformers are going to come back. But I don't know if that was an April 1st, you know, an April Fool's thing.
We may talk about that later in the show.
Maybe.
Oh. Yeah.
Or maybe I'll just erase it from the show notes now, because Diecast ruined it.
Sorry.
Okay. We have new photos, or better photos, of the Target exclusive Legacy 4 pack.
Mm-hmm.
Same thoughts from last week apply.
Yeah, I still just want squeeze play.
Yeah, Tarn doesn't look as Cyberverse as I would have hoped it does. Like, I'm not entirely sure about the deco choices they went with on that. It's not that different from, you know, regular Tarn, and what they did with it is not particularly doing anything for me.
But he comes with bludgeon sword now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Tarantulas. I liked it last week. I like it better now. I think these photos make it like the since there's more detail, it pops more for me.
Yeah. For me, Tarn is immediately going up on eBay as soon as I get my set.
I like that they made this a versus pack, and it's one versus three.
Well,
is funny to me.
They are keeping true to Transformers Prime Cliffjumper's character, which is that he gets killed immediately. Yeah.
That's true.
But he also goes down swinging, or at least he's not afraid to take on three Decepticons and Predacons or whatever.
Yeah, and talking about the Target sale, this is the one I'd missed out on. The Turtles, they were already sold out, but I did get this pack on the sale, which I think took $20 off or something.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I did too.
It was great.
I'm assuming it's accurate to the Cyberverse Deco, but I am not down with Tarn's red mustache.
Yeah, that's one of the like weird parts to me.
Yeah,
I like the Cyberverse cartoon. I actually thought it was pretty good the whole way through. I appreciate that they're trying to give some kind of attention to it. But a lot like Robots in Disguise 2001, I wish they were giving more effort into giving attention to it than to just do like basic redecos of other stuff that they're already making anyway.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Behind the scenes from Mark for Legacy Shard.
Mm-hmm. So we got, a slew of pictures here. There's some concept art toward the end of the gallery, and he talks in the post about how his original idea for Shard was for the toy to be clear plastic, basically, and the character to be made of dark energon, which did not go through because I don't know if he came to the realization himself or it just came up in discussions between Hasbro and Takara, but like basically the clear plastic, he said outright, would just not have survived being a weaponizer, armorizer style toy. Like it just would not have held up materially. But he kept the crystal design to it, and so his idea is that this is made from the crystals from the season 3. Yeah, Chaos, the cup focused episode.
Which I joked about the first time we saw this, and like I was literally just joking, but.
Well, see, no, that's good. You think exactly the same way Mark does.
I do like that concept art, though.
Yeah, no, it looks cool. And even if they hadn't, come to the conclusion ahead of time that the toy would have fallen apart being made of clear plastic with this play pattern, I still would have been absolutely scared to death of the damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's a Beyblade?
That's its things.
Battle tops.
Yeah. They're like tops that fight each other.
They spin around in the little arena.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that was mostly a question like for the audience. But Transformers Beyblade collabs. Now, do we think this is going to be like, based on the, it has like, what's the price point? Do we know on any of these?
What we know is exactly what is in print there.
So this could be probably not. Maybe it's something transforming. This could be like Transformers Angry Birds.
I'm expecting more like that. I expect it's going to be Transformers themed components to build a working Beyblade with.
Yeah, well.
The same thing, like remember, Rob remembers for sure, many years ago there was the Transformers Hex Bugs toys.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be more like that where it's just putting Transformers theming or branding onto the other property.
Okay.
This is just, it's basically fulfilling an idea that came about at least a couple years ago where the Beyblade app, I guess, had Transformers stuff added to it. But that was, digital online play only. This is now they've gone from that. They're making like physical versions of that as far as we can figure.
That'll make somebody happy.
They're also reissuing at Target Origins Bumblebee.
Go with Wheeljack.
Yeah.
There's probably a million of them out there.
Target didn't clearance enough of them out.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. Collaborative listings. Knight Rider.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important one.
Love it.
Yeah.
And Star Wars.
Yeah.
JT Prime, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this Knight Rider thing before as a possibility, and I think I shot it down. I'm like, why would they do that? So just another example of what I'm
on. Yeah, yeah, because I was the one that brought it up, Brian, is what I would like to
well,
see.
Well, that's why we shot it down, Don.
Yeah, I know, I know. But who's smiling now, Brian? The thing is it going to be a new mold, or what mold is it going to be? Like the DeLorean, sideswipe again. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So, what I don't get about this, Knight Rider's pretty dead.
It lives on in our hearts,
it
Brian.
It does, but it's pretty dead. Like it's not a vibrant, I mean, G.I. Joe, well, no, classified as vibrant, active brand.
Yeah, typically,
they're trying to, you know, collaborate with existing like popular IP to get that the synergy mojo going.
Mm-hmm.
And Knight Rider, it ain't that.
Maybe the dead ones are cheaper to license.
Oh, probably,
very likely.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, Universal Productions that owns Knight Rider might be wanting to try to use this to start getting some interest back out there for maybe testing the new series.
Is there a series?
Or at least
that's a stretch.
I mean, it's a stretch, yeah, but I'm just saying stranger
not since 2009 and that flopped.
Yeah, so that's complete conjecture.
Yeah.
Stranger Things already happened, Don. That was Code Red.
Yeah, I have that over here. no, so I would certainly expect with something like Knight Rider, it is going to be reused engineering or, you know, a partial off of an existing mold. It's not going to be like our beloved Turtle Van a couple stories back where it's, you know, all new engineering and everything for a crossover with a thriving, vibrant property. Or even like with Jurassic Park where you got 3 out of 4 like brand new things out of that.
So do we expect like replaceable parts where you can have a kit in a car?
That would be cool, but no, I don't expect that.
I mean, they more than did that with the Ninja Turtles collab. Like, we're talking like 3 cents of plastic here.
If this doesn't come with a David Hasselhoff, I'm out.
Well, I would not be surprised if the robot's head was styled to resemble.
Oh, no. Yeah, this needs to be like G.I. Joe collab, where it's a vehicle and you can throw a 3¾-inch. It's not at that price point. It's not going to be. But like if you have a 3¾-inch David Hasselhoff, that would
be amazing. Before we saw the Ninja Turtles collab, like, you know, people were kind of throwing around, like, they kind of wanted the G.I. Joe crossover treatment for that, where you could have, you know, the van with little figures in it, and then it becomes a, you know, great big robot, but
what we got better. Yeah.
I'd be happy with the Human Alliance scale figures. They were a little smaller.
Yeah, yeah. But again, like you're talking.
So idea. I'm sorry, yeah. Brian, but
sure.
So the base mold will be Titans Return Chrome Dome.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. So it's going to be a headmaster kit, and they will make a faceplate that.
Pink.
Yeah, with the Street Fighters that use the Titans Return mold, and they will, you know, give that, you know, a Hasselhoff style face and the perm.
I would love that. If they did the headmaster mold for this for Kit, that would be awesome.
It's not a bad idea. And the headmaster,
it is kind of a bad idea, but I kind of want it to be the truth.
The headmaster chest, like tech spec gimmick, could mm-hmm. be like the Kit wave mm-hmm. synth wave thing, yeah. Where he's talking.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've just designed the best toy for this crossover, and we're going to be sorely disappointed by whatever it ends up actually being.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so the G1 cartoon soundtrack that was released a couple years ago on vinyl is being re-released, and it is getting a new cover. And the cover is way better than the soundtrack itself.
Looks like they might be adding a few tracks, if I read that right.
Yeah, it looks like they're adding another disc, because that's only one disc, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
So, hopefully, I mean, what I read, I read the press release, I'm pretty sure that they said it was re-release.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're four tracks. They're four sides. So it's two
yeah.
records.
One Autobot, one Decepticon themed, and then there's one edition that comes with a 12x12-inch print of the cover when the other one doesn't.
Yeah. What I would rather have. And this is that Takara CD collection that came out years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, that was cool. It's really nice. It's really nice.
I'd just like a complete release of the G1 soundtrack, but...
Yeah.
that's a lot of that's a lot of discs to put in one package, I think, at this point.
Yeah. But, did they give a price? I don't remember reading a price on this.
If you're a vinyl collector, go pay whatever it costs.
Yeah. Okay.
It should have been $39.99, Brian, unless I'm thinking of the wrong album.
I don't remember seeing the price on it, but that's fair.
All I remember is that I wanted to buy a record player after I got this record, and Brian was like, "Don't, it's not that good."
It had some so if you remember correctly on this one, it had some like weird mixing on it.
Yeah,
where they were like they added like they somehow overproduced it and added stuff to it. It was not good.
The cut of the theme song they used was just weird.
Weird, very weird.
I'm assuming it's probably like a contemporary alternate take, but yeah, it's just
wrong. Sure, you're right. It was probably recorded in the studio same time, and it just is not what made the master of the TV show, but they had it on reel-to-reel or something.
Also, Diecast, at least for this upcoming release, there's going to be a digital version, so if you do want this, you can just like get off of iTunes or something.
One of the things listed on the track list is a 40th anniversary remix of the Transformers theme, which, you know, maybe that's something, you know, totally new. Maybe that is somebody having found the proper mix of the theme song and added it on there.
They played a part of it on the stream when they announced this, and personally, I didn't much care for it, but
fair.
Yeah.
Adani TF, makes a good summary and gives us a nice verb. They rhinoed the previous release.
Yeah, and for those of you who weren't alive at the time, the rhino release, I know that was years ago.
Yeah.
The rhino releases of the Transformers series, I think, were based on the Betamax. I think they're transferred from Betamax or something. But they added sound effects.
It was more than that. They used non-final masters.
Well,
so they actually added a lot of animation errors that weren't there in the first place.
Yeah, but they added unnecessary sound effects.
Okay.
Yeah, as well.
Probably they had to if they were working from incomplete masters, so they had to hit, fill the spaces.
Well, if I remember right, it was like on the transitional stuff where the Transformers will return after these messages, and the added crap to that, if I remember right. I haven't checked out the Rhino versions in 15
years. I haven't watched them in years because I have the Shout Factory ones, which are of higher quality.
Shout fixed it for the most part. Like that's a correct version to watch.
Yeah. Okay. And saw this come through today. Transformers 40th anniversary cinema event in May. Select theaters. I don't know which theaters will have it yet.
I didn't see on here like which distributor that even was.
Like if is it a Fathom event or what? You go to the site. If you go to Transformers 40th 40th cinemaevent.com, you can sign up to be notified. Probably Fathom. They've worked with Fathom.
Past. Yeah, I mean, that's the most likely thing.
I'm just surprised it doesn't say that.
Right.
It tells me they're still trying to figure things out.
The press release says it is distributed by Trafalgar Releasing, the global leader in event cinema distribution.
Oh, okay. It even says that on the poster. I don't know what that is.
Apparently, they did Peppa Pig cinema event before this, too.
So that makes them the leading. Okay. There you go.
Yes, they've done it twice, so they are the global leader in whatever this is.
Peppa Pig is a Hasbro product, so maybe that's something that they do now.
I'm totally in for this.
Did they say which episodes they're airing?
No.
It's select episodes and like some extra bonus content.
A table reading with the surviving original cast?
If
it's the same one they're doing currently overseas, it's the first four episodes.
Yeah, that looks like what it is according to this. Table read of More Than Meets the Eye Part 1, followed by a screening of the next three episodes.
Wait. So there's a table reading of More Than Meets the Eye Part 1.
Yes, with at least Peter Cullen and Frank Welker.
And then they show More Than Meets the Eye Part 2.
Through 4?
3.
So
3.
You're not getting More Than Meets the Eye Part 1. You're getting a reading of it.
Well, they might. they might be doing a table reading and playing the episode and letting the voice actors that are longer with us in those roles.
An exclusive behind-the-scenes table read appears on a split screen for the pilot episode, Morden Meets the Eye, Part 1, followed by a traditional screening of the next three episodes of the series.
So, part 2, 3, and Transport to Oblivion.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. That doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that, but yeah, I'm not here for this.
I'm
fascinated by the idea, but I don't necessarily want to, sit and listen to, the voice actors of one of my favorite childhood cartoons now being very old. I'm just not sure I'm into that.
So Peter Cullen trying to do Peter Cullen from 40 years ago is going to be awful.
Mm-hmm. I'm mixed on that because I thought with the right direction under, for War for Cybertron, that was a while back now, but I thought he got closer when someone was actually, giving him the opportunity to.
Is Wally Burr still alive? Is Wally Burr still alive?
No.
Yeah, but that would be kind of interesting to me, honestly, just to see, given the opportunity, how close can he get to that now? That's probably the top, top draw of it for me, is just seeing, what that performance looks like now, if it has a lot of the things about his, current version of Optimus Prime that I prefer the original to or not. Yeah. That's probably where I'd want to be with that, but I don't think I would go and see this.
Blade is like Frank Welker is struggling to do Megatron 10 years ago. And, So I want to say something to make Don happy. Actually, I want to say something to anger Don, then make him happy. What I would much rather have would be a screening of Five Faces of Darkness or Rebirth. Like, that would be badass.
Yeah, the problem is, though, that builds on a lot of the stuff that came before.
Yes, I don't care.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree.
This
I
is
totally
for
agree.
Me. Not for something practical.
Yeah, right. But a lot of the main players from Five Faces of Darkness aren't around anymore to read their parts.
I don't want that. I just want it on the big screen. So I have a projector.
Do you really want to see Five Faces of Darkness on the big screen?
Yes!
That's a lot of ACOM.
I love Five Faces of Darkness,
but it is
poor quality.
Okay, I'm going to side with Brian here and go further, Matt, in that I want them to first do a 4K rescan of every cell of Five Faces of Darkness and do the, ultimate remastered edition of that, and then put that on the big screen. I want Star Trek The Next Generation remastered, but for Five Faces of Darkness.
I mean, I would love that.
I will do whatever I have to drag Hey Mickey and inflict that upon him, should that ever come to pass.
So I'm taking...
I vow this with my life's blood.
I'm taking the next 4 days of work off. So I'm out tomorrow through Tuesday of next week. In my basement, where I'm at right now, like 15 feet from me, I have a 12-foot screen with my projector. I am going to watch Five Faces of Darkness on the projector this weekend. And maybe Rebirth if I can squeeze it in. And that will be the best time I've spent in months.
The only thing is if this thing is akin to a Fathom style event, it's going to be so hit or miss on theaters that even carry.
Oh, it's going to be sparse. But
I can see what they're doing is like if this, let's say someone my age that has a son or a daughter that's never seen this, that would be a great family outing.
If you had a son or a daughter and they hadn't seen this, you would have failed them as a parent.
I'm just saying. My people around my age with kids who aren't familiar with where it all began, that would be like a cool Saturday morning / afternoon kind of thing to spend with the kids to show them, what it was like back when I was young.
I just rewatched Five Faces of Darkness and I do love it. And it is absolutely chock full of animation errors that should 100% be a retailer capsule at some point.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
The Seekers alone would fill so many Walmart shelves until the end of time.
Yes. Because
they would be distributed single packed in Voyager cases with no other toys.
I mean, you can do this with molds that are already existing now. Just paint them in wacko colors. And
Slaughterhouse, man.
Okay. So
Grim Octane and Hot Snarl. Come on, let's go.
let's jump to what we got this week. Yeah, of course, we start off with on-topic Transformers that we got this week, and then for our patrons exclusively at patreon.com/TFRadio, you get the ham sandwich portion, which includes non-Transformers. And Don is raising his hand because he wants to go first. So, Don, what on-topic stuff did you get this week?
Box Wheeljack!
Yeah, me too.
Nice.
I love this thing. It's chunky, and it's weird, and it's panel-y, but I love it. I love the way it kind of all pegs together. Not crazy about how you have to use the windshield to kind of tab everything in the back, although it does give it that good little hover look when you look at it that way. It makes it look like it's hovering. It's fairly intuitive, but it's like it's Box Wheeljack, and I've been waiting for this ever since they did Origins Bumblebee. It is a little hard to get the tabs lined up, and you really can't forget to unfold the door out of the legs before you go to put the roof on, because it kind of, that's what solidifies the back end. And then the fake chest shield is what goes into those two tab spots. But I love him. I'm so glad I got him. And this is like something I've been waiting for ever since the first episode and didn't realize it till they showed it off.
That's awesome, Don.
So he's a chunky little boy who did not skip leg day, and I love him.
Did you get it at the retail, or did you order it?
I got it from Target during the sale. Okay. So I was able to get the sale price on those. And
from Target.com, then.
Yeah, okay. Target.com. Just love him. If you've got Bumblebee and Jazz, you need him.
Okay.
Well, obviously, because
that's just the way it was.
I need to go find it.
Yeah. The other thing I got, I haven't opened him, is the 86 Blaster.
Hasn't shipped.
Yeah, I went ahead and got him. I've got Kingdom. I'll probably sell him because I've made some progress on my wall downstairs. So around Unicron will be the Studio Series stuff as a representation of G1, kind of.
Okay.
So, but I love the colors, and just looking at him in the box, I love the colors. I wish we had gotten this in Kingdom, to be honest, but, you know.
Now they can sell it to you twice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Three times if you count if you count Shattered Glass
and
Twincast.
Or if you count Twincast.
Yeah. And, well, in that case, 5, when they probably do a comics version of it with another head, and then you get Opaque Rewind in that.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope we get the cassettes not tied to just repaints of this mold. I mean, we need the rest of the cassettes, and I don't know how we're going to get them. But that's all I got on topic this week.
Don, you know what? Remember, somebody buys something off your wish list, it's also on topic.
Oh, what did you do to him this week, Brian?
Hank's treats the furniture.
So my
Are you the one that sent us the deal potato chips?
I was. That was my.
Christy, that was Brian.
TFradio.net/cheat sheet. You can add other things and ship them to Don, and he will get things besides Core Class Cheetor. So my contribution to TFradio.net/cheat sheet included the pickle chips.
Well, see, I don't like dill pickle, but my wife loved them. So thank you, Brian. Christy appreciated that. I looked at him. I said, they're yours.
I thought, what's a weird thing I can send to Don that wouldn't be like super controversial?
Yeah, I tried one and it made my mouth sad.
Aw.
Well, then you have a bad mouth, Don.
Yeah, so
I don't like dill. I like sweet pickles.
TFradio.net/cheat sheet. You can say I don't have tracking on how many times anything has been bought from that. So I'm curious, like in May when it hits, how many you're gonna get.
Did they taste like slightly pickle flavored salt and vinegar chips by any chance?
No, they just tasted like sad. Just condensed sadness in a physical form.
Are you sure it wasn't salt and vinegar, Don?
No, it was
delicious.
I actually like salt and vinegar chips.
I do too, but they taste like pain.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
So Christy appreciated that. So, you know, I thank you on behalf of her.
Let me add something. Let me go back to tfradio.net/cheat sheet and add something else while Chris tells us what we got.
Yeah, I the only thing on topic I have is Origins Wheeljack. I'm right there with Don. I like this thing a whole lot. So the way I'm looking at it is there's basically two kinds of Wheeljack. You have Wheeljack in the cartoon, who, I mean, he's a little bit of a short guy, but he's not like, you know, big beefy built. But the G1 toy is like this, you know, squat little wide thing. And the robot mode for this really takes after that side of the Wheeljack concept more than what the cartoon looks like, which is kind of funny since, like, otherwise the cosmetic styling of it is definitely trying to go hard into looking like the cartoon. It's got, like, the best animation Wheeljack head sculpt we've gotten so far. The chest piece needs more paint to really sell this, but it's got the right shape for what Wheeljack looked like in the cartoon. Definitely more than the Earthrise mold did. And, you know, does with the five packs redeco, where it just looks like a... Rob, did you call it the French manicure fingernail?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, like, this definitely does better than that. It just needs, like, some paint to kind of pick that out a little bit better, pick the shape out. But, like, the arms and the legs are so, like, thick and boxy, and, like, they're kind of short-looking for being so wide. Like, I think they're proportionate to the body size, but they're just so beefed up thick that they look stubby. The posability is not hindered as much as I was expecting it to be for the proportions being the way they are. So it's fairly functional, and despite what the early pictures I saw made it look like, the backpack is big. I'm not going to make any pretense about that. It's a big backpack, but it can squish up pretty tight against the robot body. There's tabs and things to hold it together solidly, and even the shoulder wing deal, Wheeljack's normal shoulder wing thing, there's slots in those that actually help to hold the backpack in place in robot mode. So, like, it actually comes together pretty solidly and looks tidier than, like, the show display photos or some of the stock imagery we saw. Don, do you have a question?
No, I was going to say, the closest I can get as a comparison would be the original movie Galvatron. The way that backpack just completely folded flat, even though it served as a canopy shell for the rest of the robot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of along those same lines. It's like, you won't believe it compresses as much as it does.
But you will believe a man can fly.
Yeah, to what it gets to. So yeah, that's the best comparison I can think of.
So I've heard a lot of mixed thoughts on the toy's transformation. Don is very far into the more positive side about that. I've seen a lot of stuff on the opposite end of that spectrum. I actually enjoyed the transformation and thought it was pretty easy for what it's doing.
Well, the amount of compression going on in those legs to get the rest of the vehicle form.
There are so many layers of panels. There is so much panel depth in how the legs come together. I'm actually more worried about transforming it back into robot mode for getting the sequence of panels correct. But the fact that you can basically crunch like 60% of this vehicle mode down into the legs, and the legs are not these absolutely like monstrous winged things for, you know, trying to squeeze all these in. Like, that in itself is pretty impressive. And the fact that I was able to take this out of the package, mess with the robot mode for a while, and then only using the picture on the back of the box as reference for what the vehicle is supposed to look like, I completely transformed this without any trouble. The only thing that kept me guessing for a couple minutes was how to get the arms to work. And that was just figuring out that you actually have to go backwards with the elbows to get that to line up correctly.
Hmm.
That part is not that bad once you like take a look at the parts and figure out how they're supposed to line up. Like, it is surprisingly intuitive. Also surprising, when you do have all the surfaces tabbed together, it is a lot more solid and sturdy than I would have expected it to be. Like, for the panel forminess of it, I was expecting like a Titan's Return wheelie kind of thing, where if you squeeze it on the sides a little bit, it would just explode.
Mm-hmm.
But like it is surprisingly solid, and even if you like pop the roof up and fold down the rear gate, which is a thing you can do, you can then pop the roof back down and it tabs in place. Like, even then, it's a little bit less solid because you're taking one of the walls down, but, like, it still holds together and holds its shape really well. Like, I'm super, super impressed with how this thing was engineered, and whoever at Takara worked on this project and made this thing go from a wheeljack-shaped robot, more or less, into this box and made it be not an absolute flaming disaster. Like, I am super, super impressed with you, and Takara needs to pay you more money.
Well, I will say two things.
This is a triumph.
Yeah, it is. I think he said Hisui-san worked with him on this. I think
that would explain it.
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that at all, because, like, this has masterpiece in it.
Right.
The only thing I'm
kind of worried about is the robot mode chest.
Yeah.
Has those two clear pegs that go in the bottom of the feet. So that's what gives you your solidity on that side. And kind of gives you the hover look. I'm just worried about those two small pegs over time. That's what I'm kind of worried about. Other than that,
it also kind of looks like the chest, the clear chest piece is load bearing, which just when you said
that,
said, okay, good.
It's not. It just helps give it the illusion of being a hovercraft.
I mean, there's barely any weight to this.
Okay.
Which is a bad thing to say about a Voyager, but, you know, what are you going to do? There's two little spots on the inside of the clear piece where, you know, it's the two legs of a tripod, basically, and it just, you know, sits easy on that. It's not like putting undue weight on it or anything, and it's certainly not any kind of like structural bearing part in any other sense. And honestly, like, I don't even find that those pegs on there are that necessary. Like, I unpopped this and then started squeezing on it a little bit, and, like, it's not buckling with that untabbed.
Hmm.
So even if those were to unfortunately snap off at some point, you don't need them to hold that chest piece in the right position for it to sit in vehicle mode, and they don't seem to really be that necessary to shore up the structure of the truck.
Cool.
So, like, you know, if they go, that's going to be a shame because it's going to make it, you know, look a little less pretty in robot mode. But, like, the toy will still survive and function just fine as is. Now, unfortunately, I could not remember where I put my Open Origins Bumblebee. I did try to stick Netflix Bumblebee in vehicle mode inside Wheeljack, and that does not work so well. It's a little bit too tall. Wheeljack's roof will not close down over it, and it sticks out past the rear gate. So it's very funny for a photo. It does not actually work in practice, though. But yeah, I am surprised how happy I am with this Wheeljack. It does really well. The only thing that I'm not even, like, disappointed with this. Like, it's got the blast shield piece that you can fit over it.
Mm-hmm.
So that fits on surprisingly securely, given that I don't think there's any actual mechanical connection holding it on. It just kind of slots over it, and the shape of the truck body and the shape of the blast shield when it's folded up just kind of nest together how they need to so that it sticks on there. So
nice.
That's kind of cool. The thing that I am not happy with about the blast shield is just them trying to characterize it also as a piece of, like, runway track for Wheeljack to sit on, because the only way to make it be that is you have to pull it apart at its hinges and reverse the pieces.
Ooh, no thank you.
Yeah, so, like, it comes in the track configuration, so if you want it to be the blast shield, you have to do that at least once, but now that I have it set up that way, it's going to stay as the shield piece forever. It's never going to be the silly little piece of translucent road that it was packaged as.
Is it Plankmaster compatible, though?
No.
Aw.
No, it just has, like, normal friction hinges on each end, and, like, Don's showing it to us right now in the road configuration, which, like, it's got beveled edges on both sides. It's barely even a segment of road. It's just, I think they were just trying to make him an excuse for why it's packaged that way, and it's just because it takes up less space in the box if it's a straight line instead of, you know, a V-shaped wing.
Yeah.
But that does, the V-shaped wing does have fairly securely onto the back of the robot. I think that's equally kind of dumb to have that way. But if you want it to be able to keep all of its parts on it in both modes, you have that as an option, and I do appreciate it on that level.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm impressed with the engineering. It's a good size in vehicle mode. You wouldn't expect it to kind of fill out to this volume. And the robot mode makes it like a hard sell as a Voyager, but like it definitely lives up to that, just like in the engineering complexity of it. Like, I feel like this is a Voyager toy at a smaller size. It's very much like Hot Rod from the other direction, I would say. And that's what I got this week.
Rob, you said you didn't have anything on topic.
Nothing on topic.
Matt, what about you?
Yes, I finally got my Voyager animated Optimus Prime.
Oh, nice.
From what is it? Legacy United, I think, now.
Yeah.
I like him a whole lot. He is not perfect. The translation from the animated face to the Generations line isn't quite there, but none of the animated figures really nail the faces, but it's not bad. It's just not perfect. Love the transformation. He is a nice bulky Voyager, which I very much appreciate. His axe weapon is gigantic, so I definitely feel like I got a good price for him, or a good toy for the price. The roof flap does not sit flush against the top of the truck mode for me. Like, it leaves a gap.
That's a shame. Mine doesn't do that, I don't think.
Yeah, but that is literally the only thing I have to complain about it. He looks absolutely fantastic if you put him next to Prowl and Bumblebee. And now I'm kind of sad that in all the leaks we've had, there's no word of a Bulkhead or a Ratchet.
Yeah, Ratchet would be wonderful.
Yeah.
But I will probably be willing to pick up a Motormaster repaint of this at some point. So
yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Well, you'll get your chance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Motormaster, sorry.
Yes.
And that's it for me this week.
John, did you get anything?
Yeah, I got a bunch of stuff. Most of it I haven't had a chance to open yet. I did get Wheeljack and Blaster. I also got the Versus set of Ghost Starscream and Haunted Waspinator, so I haven't opened that yet. I did get a chance to open Silverbolt, who's awesome. I really like him. He's great. I do miss every time I get like a remastered, if you will, Beast Wars toy. If they had like a really pronounced gimmick in the first release, I do miss the death of gimmicks. So he's a great looking Silverbolt, but I miss the big kind of ridiculous wings with, you know, yeah, shooting
launchers.
Yeah, launchers and stuff like that. But outside of that, he's great. He also really makes me feel like masterpiece Beast Wars are just not something like for me anymore, because like this is totally good enough. Like for me, like this is like if we never get a Silver Bolt again, I'm cool with it. If we don't get a masterpiece one, fine. He's really good. I really do like him a lot.
Just gonna say, whenever they started Masterpiece Beast Wars, that's when Masterpiece started to suck. Just throwing that out there.
Well, I mean, since they started doing like Beast Wars again with Kingdom, like again, like these are great. Like these are awesome. They're, I mean, a heck of a lot cheaper than Masterpiece, but also like they're awesome. Like this is great. Like, you know, I mean, the original toys were good. And if you want like a, I don't know, modernized version of Beast Wars character, like every time they do these, they do a really good job. So I would love to get a universe repaint of this. So Selects, don't die until you can give me that purple green
and Windraiser
and Airwaiser. Yeah, sure. But I definitely want the purple green universe Silverbolt if that's possible. Outside of that, like I said, everything else I got is still boxed up.
Okay. Diecast.
Yes. I got Supreme Core Class Cheetor.
Yeah, freedio.net/cheat-sheet to send Don one. Or 10.
Yes. I was expecting more. If you look at how I, and of course this is an audio podcast, but
have you ever seen Beast Machines Cheetor before?
He is, his arms and legs lock in, or I guess his front legs and his back legs lock in to where
he's in a pose almost like when your dog's right about to bend down to go to the bathroom. Like all four limbs are super close together, and it doesn't look anything like the promo pictures at all, but this is actually the correct transformation for it. You actually have to, you know, untab it from the pegs that it's supposed to be tabbed into in order to give it like a more natural like walking pose rather than just like about to squat to go to the bathroom. And they were pretty hard to tab in, honestly. And yeah, I just popped it out, but I actually popped his arm off trying to get it off. The head's kind of weird, and the way it hangs down underneath the cat is weird. I honestly thought they would be able to do a better job, being that this is a core class figure. I was like, yeah, it's going to be simple. They can't mess it up too much. This is not great. I still like it. I only because of the Don factor. But it is not a great core class figure at all.
TFRadio.net/cheat sheet. CHEETSHEET.
Yeah, Don definitely needs like 50 of these.
You just said it's not a good figure. I do not want our fans to spend money on that figure.
That's for good cause. Can they spend money on dill pickle potato chips for your wife?
No. Well, yeah, for her.
Specifically.
So if you go to tfradio.net/cheat sheet, you know, hit the pre-order button, then anything you add to the cart, when you go to check out, select Dawn's registry address or whatever it says, mm-hmm. and that stuff will go to Dawn. Dawn's getting something on Friday. This one's for Dawn. You'll be happy, Dawn. You'll be thankful.
I assume that means it's not dill flavored.
It is not. It's not. Anything else, Diecast?
Yes, the other thing I got, I actually got today at Target on clearance, and it is the Rhinox Battlemaster.
Nice.
He was $3.14, which I feel like
the resale value of the ones I'm trying to get rid of.
It is a, it's actually a pretty cool Battlemaster. I'm kind of happy with him. He's actually a really good rhinoceros too. He is actually much better than Supreme Core Clash Cheetor. So I like Rhinox. I'm glad I got him, and you know, for $3, I was like, I have to pick him up and try him. So that's all I got on topic, but I do have a couple off topic things.
Okay, we'll get to those in a minute. So
Fast Talk Food Reviews in our Discord says, for every swoop you can't find, send Don a Cheetor.
Oh, that's, yeah, there you go.
Yes.
So I got a few things this week. I got two shipments from DHL from Japan, and both of them had two items in it, but we'll get that in a second. I finally picked up Tasmania Kid. Makes me sad. He's not bad, but I'm mentally doing the parts count on this compared to the 98, 97 Beast Wars toy.
That'd be a 97, I think.
Yeah. And I think counting the ratcheting gimmick or the auto transform gimmick, fewer parts than this, smaller, and I mean it's more expensive than what inflation would have been. So
I don't think Beast Wars Snarl even had the auto transformation gimmick. The second year toys didn't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know where mine is compared it to.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it just hurts.
Okay. The question is, if somehow they got to redeco that out as Bound Rogue, would you still buy that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, Bound Rogue, yeah, did not have the auto transform, had a missile launching tail instead.
Yeah.
Well, Tasmania Kid had the missile launching tail.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, yeah, it's just one of those things, like, it kind of makes me miss, you know, the way things used to be because I'm an old person.
Same mood.
Yeah. So I got, John.
You're on the right podcast, Brian. Yeah,
John, congratulations.
I got the Versa set, Ghost Starscream, and Waspinator.
Hmm.
Gorgeous.
Where'd you order that from?
Amazon Japan.
Yeah, okay. I kind of figured.
I can't remember if I feel like I ordered it, but I don't remember from where.
I ordered it from Pulse, so I'll still be waiting for months yet.
That's fine.
Flipping gorgeous. So I'm really glad that I got that.
The longer you wait for fulfillment, Matt, the longer you have a Ghost Starscream that's not broken.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, but you have to wait for the Waspinator that I don't want. So
that's fine. I'm patient for that. I've made you wait a hell of a long time for a bunch of toys anyway, so this is only fair.
Trying to figure out how I'm going to display it without taking it out of the box. I don't think that's possible with these.
Hmm.
So I don't want to transform them.
Okay, so what you do is you take a really nice straight-on photo of the thing with the flap up, and you print that out, and you get some poster tack, and you just stick that to the front of the closed box.
Yeah. The other thing in the Amazon Japan box, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it's the JAXA Lunar Rover Optimus Prime.
Ooh, that looks nice.
I love it. It is about a head taller than Volvo Optimus Prime. Looking at it in photos, Chris put it a good way. I was thinking like it shared some DNA, not like design, but like it feels to me like the same person or people worked on it. But it is very distinct from that toy. Obviously, it's a flipping rover, but the colors are different. Head sculpt is very different. Just colors are much more muted. It's clean. The transformation is easy. Did it without the instructions, so I think I got it right. It's just a wonderful piece. Hopefully it doesn't yellow. Yeah, but it is gorgeous, and I love it. The other box that came from DHL, I had mentioned this in pre-show. It's something I already have, and they're both kind of the same thing. It is a... These came from Mandarake. God, they were cheap too. $40 each.
Hmm.
This I because the exchange rate is so wonderful. Boxed Prime of Justice laser.
Oh,
$40?
$40.
Wow. So oh my God.
So remember, I have a sealed one of these too.
So what was it, like 6,600 yen then?
Yeah, something like that. 65.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah,
and like so, but shipping on it ended up being another $40. Yeah, and
still less than I paid for Scourge.
Yeah, and of course, yeah. the domestic US version of Laser Prime. I didn't look closely. It's missing the sword.
And again,
I have a sealed one of those too. But I just like having one that I can open. Now I have two that I can open. And like at that price, I couldn't say no.
No, but again, that is great.
Shipping doubled the price.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I saw those for like $40 each, I'm like, yep, I'll take it. Like I was telling the guys in pre-show, I think like Mike, I want to have a complete G1 collection. It's not going to be a complete box collection, even though I'm mostly buying boxed pieces now because I'm stupid. But like I may consider of things that were domestically or things that were actually released and probably when I say released in probably US and Europe, skipping Japan. I may go for a complete, like, sealed G2 collection, which that would be pretty fairly achievable, except for ATB Megatron, which is going to kill me. But I think that's achievable.
That's future Brian's problem.
Yes, that's future Brian's problem. This is something, like, to collect before I die. Then my kids will have to worry about it once I'm dead.
And the best part of getting a sealed G2 collection is that, like, 60% of that is just going to be G2 GoBots deco versions.
Yeah. And I already have a bunch of sealed G2 stuff. Like I've got those, the original versions of those. I've got Megatron, Optimus, the Minibots, some of the cars, Grimlock, that Pyro Spark that we talked about recently. That was going to be one of the hard ones. Not as hard as ATB Megatron, but
right,
it's one of the hard ones. So that may be something I do. But like I love G2, and I saw these $40 a pop. I'm like, yes, I'll do it. And oh, also a bunch of Cyberjets too.
I love Cyberjets.
Yeah, me too. That's what I got this week. We want to thank our patrons at patreon.com/TF Radio. Patrons get an ad-free version of the show. Get it a day early, I say the show, I mean RFC. Doesn't mean 24 hours, but you get it the day ahead. Higher bitrate, weekly Patreon exclusive pre-show podcast. If there are any major edits to the show, you get the unedited version. You get There Goes My Money a week early. Episode just posted to our Patreon. Episode 50. You patrons at the Touch tier get to be on There Goes My Money, and that's recorded twice monthly. Touch patrons get to be mentioned on the show each week and banked at tfradio.net/credits. And we're going to do that now. Kevin Dorsey, thank you. Kevin, I need to email you back or text you back with that information. You know what I'm talking about. Jacob Owen Lucia, Sean Bratton, Emmett Sresevich, Hector Bones, J. Klein Rye, Joey Russell. Here's Why It's Cool, who made the first appearance on the new episode of There Goes My Money. And Chris says he wants him on the show forever.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, I've listened to a little bit. He was very good.
And, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mike, please keep coming back.
Yes. Rabbits, Rick Mahurin, Ryan Bona, Sean Hamilton, Sean Williamson, Spider Bob, and new Touch patron this week, Trickster, our friend Trickster. Thank you. You should come on too. Actually, anybody there should come on. Yeah. Sean's not been on. Boomer's not been on There Goes My Money yet.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what's going on there. You need to be on there because we miss you. But yeah, need to lure Kevin back on.
Mm.
I know he and Sean get to love each other. Great chance to see them interact. So again, patreon.com/TF radio. We'd appreciate it. You can find all of our stuff at tfradio.net. We have podcasts going back to the 1990s because we're old.
So very old.
So very old. It's like past my bedtime right now. You can find me personally at briankilby.com and on Blue Sky at kilby.bsky.social. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
Sorry. Well, they can get a hold of me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Diecast2. They can like my Facebook page at Reviews by Diecast. They can see my reviews on youtube.com/RFC Reviews or tfradio.net/RFC Reviews.
John.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, in our defense, back in the 90s, we were at least very extreme. Super cool. Frosted tips. We were having table, ladders, and chairs matches.
I wasn't, but my favorite tidbit about you in your younger days, it was your MySpace profile. It was just like the muscles in your back.
Yeah, that was fun.
I bet you wish you could get those days back, huh?
He's got them still.
Man. Anyway, you can find me everywhere. That John D. Everywhere.
Don.
Can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR. I can also be reached on Blue Sky at HMRC for EVR. bluesky.social. I also have a wish list on Amazon, tfradio.net/donlist. Please don't buy me any cheetors.
No, you have to go to tfradio.net/cheatsheet for
that's
that.
The real
T-H-E-E-T-S-H-E-E-T.
That's the real one. Yeah. Yep. If you want to get Don something off his wish list, go to tfradio.net/cheatsheet. Get him a cheetor and then add whatever from the wish list that he wants.
Yeah.
That's
the official procedure. Oh,
that's the standard operating procedure. Chris.
I'm on Blue Sky as Chris RTXV. My photography work is collected at playwithphotography.com. I have an Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/chrislist. I don't have any cheetors on there, nor is there a mechanism at this point to send me cheetors. I can't guarantee Brian won't do that to me, but I don't think there's as much interest there as doing it to Don. So, you know, also come check out our Discord, tfradio.net/discord. Just twice today, I posted a photo of putting Netflix Bumblebee in the back of Wheeljack. That's also on my Blue Sky, so go over and, you know, favorite or repost that. Give me some engagement. It makes me feel nice inside.
Matt?
excuse me. Melvar.bsky.social. That's with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Rob?
I'm on Blue Sky at Rob Flails, not fails, .bsky.social.
Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got that. I get that less and less with on videos, youtube.com/flailthroughs than I used to. I used to have a lot of people calling it failthroughs, but no, that's why I always had the big logo with like nice blocky like Dragon Quest font letters that were easy to read.
I just thought that was your aesthetic.
I mean, also the aesthetic, but yeah, just, you know. Aesthetic, labeling, branding, whatever, it works together, hopefully.
Ah, synergy.
Yes, but yeah, if you want to see me cover Gundam Battle Operation 2, and when it comes out, Gundam Breaker 4, check me out on YouTube. If you want to support me, patreon.com/flailthroughs, and you can request specific rounds of GBO2. A weekly GBO update goes up on my channel on Thursday mornings, so keep an eye out for that. And I also have an Amazon wish list that helps support the show at tfradio.net/claylist. No cheaters on there either.
Sad. Rob Springer not here. He's at RoboRobSpringer on Twitter, at zonebase.bsky.social, on Blue Sky. I forget where he is on Threads. And he is at zonebase.org. That's it.
Past my bedtime.
We'll see you next week.
No kidding.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.